coming after you. You are the heavyweight champion of the world.
Mr. Clay, you're under arrest.
I went to see the film Ali alone at the first show on a Sunday morning. Although it's listed as the 11th most attended film in theaters at the moment, there were three other people there, enjoying the current contribution to the genre. There have been over 100 feature films about the fight world since talkies came in, and some even before that.
A story that could only have been lived in the fight game. The story of a boy who rose from the depths of poverty to become champion of the world.
The ring is the stage.
Veteran journalist Jack Newfield can't resist a good boxing film. He's been a boxing enthusiast since his boyhood in the Bedford-Stuyvesant section of Brooklyn, where some of the boys in the neighborhood grew up to be fighters.
Once I started to write for the Village Voice in 1964, every once in a while, I would write a boxing piece.
A lot of writing has been done on the subject. Nelson Algren, Camus wrote about boxing, Mailer, Bud Schulberg, Hemingway, Joyce Carol Oates. She described boxing's eerie fascination, a madness, she said, sanctioned by tradition and custom.
Boxing has a kind of raw, primitive, bloodlust drama that has always attracted writers and wonderful filmmakers.
This is the only sport in the world where two guys get paid for doing something they'd be arrested for if they got drunk and did it for nothing.
In Champion from 1949, based on a Ring Lardner story, with Kirk Douglas starring in his first major role, a greedy fighter sells his soul to be the champ.
We're in. We're on that gravy train and it's making no stops.
The champ double-crosses just about everyone.
I know it's a dirty trick on you guys, but... well, it worked out okay, didn't it?
And then dies of a brain hemorrhage. His brother's final statement is the final irony.
He was a credit to the fight game to the very end.
It was always fun to watch fighting in the movies, even the Joe Palooka movies.
Victor Novasky, publisher and editorial director of The Nation magazine, is a fight fan from way back. Sometimes he and Newfield watch the fights together.
My father went to the fights every Friday night, and my definition of being grown up was when he would take me to the fights. He would describe fighting as, quote, the manly art of self-defense, close quote.
Novasky appears to have seen every boxing movie ever made, from the silent Battling Butler to the current Ali.
The great boxing movies haven't been about what happens in the ring. It's really the character that's created and what happens outside the ring that makes it work.
But there have been plenty of films to create drama in the ring as well as out. Cinematographer James Wong Howe, who photographed Body and Soul in the late 1940s, famously put a cameraman in the ring on roller skates with a small handheld camera to shoot the fight scenes in that film with a greater sense of intimacy.
You see things that don't happen in the ring in most movies about boxing. They're caricatures, they're over the top. I just accept it.
Body and Soul is considered one of the classics of the genre. Charlie Davis rises from the slums to live the good life of a champ, only to be asked to take a dive.
I still think I can knock that Marlowe on his ear in two rounds.
Maybe you could, Charlie, but the smart money is against it.
He triumphs in the end by walking away from the gangsters who set him up. Clifford Odets' Golden Boy, which was made into a movie in the 40s, is about a musician who becomes a fighter.
I love the violin.
For all the obvious reasons.
But I've practiced for 10 years, and where am I?
In Somebody Up There Likes Me, from the 50s, Paul Newman does a star turn as Rocky Graziano. He has his ups and downs.
Can Rocky Graziano shake off every roof that is caved in on him?
And then he triumphs over his humble beginnings. The Harder They Fall, 1956, Humphrey Bogart's last feature before his death, is less uplifting.
Hey, the fight game in this country is falling apart.
A sports writer down on his luck is hired to be a press agent for a fighter. In this movie, it's the champ's handlers who are truly brutal.
I know you inside out, Nick. I know what you've done and how you did it.
In the end, the writer gives up his percentage of the take.
Nick, you're in trouble.
Then he sits down to write an exposé proposing the abolition of the sport. Nearly 50 years later, it's still an issue.
If somebody's said it's going to be abolished tomorrow, and the 1,500 boxers who are now active will have to get another line of work. I couldn't complain. It is so corrupt and so brutal, and it's gone so long without taking any honest steps towards reform.
Yet it continues to inspire. It has been the background for fairy tales.
You believe that America is the land of opportunity. We picked you, Rocky. It's the chance of a lifetime.
But boxing films more often told cautionary tales.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I haven't seen so many losers since my last fight at Madison Square Garden.
The fight movie is said to have come of age in 1980 with Raging Bull.
He is knocked out and Jake LaMotta with
highly stylized, brutal fight scenes. And somehow both the fairy tales and the cautionary tales seem at least partially true, even now.
I think in the old days, from the body and soul set up, Harder They Fall era, the traditional organized crime gangsters ran boxing. Now the corruption has become corporatized. Now it's the casinos and Don King and the cable networks. It's a higher form of white-collar venality.
There are still fight movies to be made, says Jack Newfield.
There hasn't really been a kind of Godfather-level movie about contemporary boxing that shows the power of these huge corporations. Those are the banks of boxing now. They put up the money.
Until that movie is made, we have Ali, now in wide release, and also The Ring, The Champ, The Tip-Off, Winner Take All, Palooka, Golden Boy, Leather Gloves, Right Cross, Champ for a Day, The Square Jungle, The Prize Fighter, The Challenge, Split Decisions, and around 93 more. For WNYC, I'm Sarah Fishkin.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.